In prayer today, I invite you to keep in mind those who will be receiving quilts today. For these four people, keep them in your prayers. So I invite you to come with me into a time of prayer. Oh Lord, come by here. Come by here. We ask in all humility, knowing that we don't command you, but also knowing that you are faithful and steadfast. You hear and you respond when those who know you call out for help. So come by here. Come by here with the power of your Spirit and give us confidence that we can be shaped and molded even in community worship. Come by here with your Spirit and give us rest on this day from all of the churning of this life. Come by here by your Spirit and give us hope in the midst of grief, for loss and changes in our lives, and for loved ones that we want to get better or gone forever. Lord, come by here. Come by here. And when you come, Lord, we courageously ask that we might be made into the people that we're created to be. Some of us maybe are edging toward that, and other of us are far away. You know, you know. So come by your Spirit here and shape us. Shape us by your will. If we come, Lord, today with resentments and regrets and anger stirring in us, temper that with your mercy and love. If we come in a state of hopelessness and fatigue, wondering if things will ever change or get better, Lord, temper that with your encouragement and your promise to always be present. And if we come, Lord, with our hands thrown up in the air over situations on this earth, wondering if there possibly can be change, and if you're calling us to do change, how can we do that in some way when we seem to have so little effect? Oh, Lord, give us confidence. Not only confidence in our strengths given by you, but confidence in you. Oh, Lord, work in this world in ways we can't imagine. Be with those who are hurting, for the poor, and the put upon, and the imprisoned, and the detained, and for those who struggle in war and in terrorism and in abusive relationships, for those names that pass across the news so quickly, harmed and dying in accidents and as victims. Oh Lord, step in, step in. Bring your peace and your comfort in this hurting world. And Lord, in our smaller scope where we can reach, give us the courage to speak when we need to speak and to remain silent when that's the better course. Give us the resources to act when we can, and to fully rely on you when we are not able to act. And in all things, Lord, we're counting on you to shape us as a community of faith. Shape us as individuals following you. And we give our hearts to you. We give our lives to you. And now in this moment of silence, we offer our intercessions and our gratitude. With bold mind and heart now, we offer to you the prayer your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear the word of our Lord from the scripture lesson in Acts. Meanwhile, Saul was still spewing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, seeking letters to the synagogues in Damascus. If he found persons who belonged to the way, whether men or women, these letters would authorize him to take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. During the journey, as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are harassing," came the reply. "Now get up and enter the city. You will be told what you must do." Those traveling with him stood there speechless. They heard the voice, but saw no one. After they picked Saul up from the ground, he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and neither ate nor drank anything. In Damascus there was a certain disciple named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, "Ananias?" He answered, "Yes, Lord." The Lord instructed him, "Go to Judas's house on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying." In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias enter and put his hands on him to restore his sight. Ananias countered, "Lord, I've heard many reports about this man. People say he's done horrible things to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's here with authority from the chief priests to arrest everyone who calls on your name." The Lord replied, "Go, this man is the agent I have chosen to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Ananias went to the house. He placed his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way as you were coming here. He sent me so that you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, flakes fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After eating, he regained his strength. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. One more commercial. Today I'm preaching from the Common English Bible. It's a newer translation, of course, usually in the Methodist, when we say newer, we mean like 5 or 6 years. But so I'm not exactly sure when it was published. But I like it. It's kind of comfortable. It's kind of nice reading. So we've ordered some, and they'll be out if you would like to. If you don't have kind of a comfortable reading Bible at home and you'd like something, we've ordered some of these copies. And the print isn't that small. Just can read it. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, we're on the last week of our superhero series. Next week, we'll be on to work, and then we're going to have a Sunday where we talk about telling our own faith stories, and then we're on to a wonderful series about how do we agree to disagree? How do we do that? And so that's going to be kind of fun in September. So if there's someone you don't agree with, be sure to invite them September 15th. But today, we're going to be talking about one more superhero. Her name is Natasha Romanoff, the Black Widow. And while we've heard about superheroes young and seasoned, those who are reluctant, we've heard about the underdogs, we've heard about those who find themselves with gifts and power and have to make a decision to use them. Today, we talk about, and I think this is kind of the most important thing, maybe for the whole summer, is how does using superpowers change you? In other words, how can God entering our lives bring change? And so, obviously, a great place to start is with a powerful conversion. And Sue has given you that story this morning. Here's the backstory. We first hear about Paul, who was originally named Saul, in chapter 7 of Acts. And it's a little bit of a supporting role. What happened was Stephen, who was a deacon, an apostle in the church of Christ, was stoned for his beliefs, and he went down giving glory to God. And what it says right toward the end of chapter 7 is that the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen were held in Saul's arms. Saul doesn't come to us again until chapter 9, and this is the kind of guy he was. He was a Pharisee. He tells us this in the letters that he sends to many Jewish Christian people and Gentile Christians all around the Mediterranean. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader in the Jewish movement, and he felt it was his role to put down this sect, Christianity, because it was causing problems. And so he began in Jerusalem, and he was zealous for the faith. And Christians were driven out. They were driven into hiding. They were persecuted. And then he was given the opportunity to go to Damascus and to do the same thing, to persecute the Christians, this new sect that had risen up among the Jews. He came with his beliefs and his certainty that his way was the right way. He was ripe for a change. Now, today we're going to be talking about a little bit about Natasha Romanoff, also known as the Black Widow. Stan Lee, a Marvel creator in Marvel Comics, he came up with Natasha. It was in the early 1960s, so you've got to picture Cold War. A lot of fear. There was the United States, and then there was the enemy. And who was the enemy? Yeah, Russia, Soviet Union, USSR. And at that time, for those who did not live in that time, let me tell you, there was great fear. I mean, I read in the 70s many a spy novel, right, written in the 60s, and the enemy was the Soviet Union. So in 1964, a comic came out with Natasha Romanoff, the Black Widow. Now, this is her backstory. There were a number of them, as it goes with these comics. She was either raised by the state or she was raised by someone who was loyal to the Soviet Union. And so she came up and had great spy training. She was a master of martial arts and weaponry. Eventually, she got these wristbands. I love these. She got these wristbands that would shoot like ultrasonic injuring rays. And, you know, boom, boom. And they're called the Widow's Bite. Sorry, went biblical there. The Widow's Bite. So I love that her early costume was a veil and an evening gown, you know. She was the enemy. So like in the opening comic, 1964, she was the antagonist to Iron Man, who was a Marvel hero. Well, as the story goes on, she has this belief that Russia is right and the free world as we know it was wrong, and she fought against it. And so, like Paul, she is introduced to us as an antagonist rather than a hero. And there is a place in her life that is also ripe for change. So what happens to Paul, we've heard today. And I think it's so fascinating that he's struck down on the road to Damascus, where he is going to persecute. He hears the voice of Jesus. And Jesus, even in a kind of another voice in the midst of him being blinded for 3 days, tells him that someone's going to come and lay hands on him. Now, the 3 days is interesting because we've got like the 3 days that Jesus is in the tomb, right? We have the 3 days that we talked about last week, which was how long Jonah was in the fish, right, or the whale. We've got this idea of the Trinity, which is three. In biblical numbers, three is good. Three is full. It's all you need. It's complete. And so you have him, he is without sight for as long as he needs to be, okay? And then you have Ananias coming after, say, arguing, you know, with the Lord, like, I've heard about him. I don't want to be a part of that. And what we find are two things about God through Jesus Christ. The first is this amazing mercy. Here is this guy who is a persecutor, who has probably helped to lead Christians to their death or at least separation from community. And the second thing is that he has this amazing heart and self-righteous belief that what he's doing is absolutely right. And Christ has mercy on that. The second thing is that Christ sees amazing potential in him. We would not understand the church today as we do if it was not for Paul. So Christ saw something in him that people around him could not have possibly seen. And so he's blinded for 3 days. Ananias, a Christian, comes to him, lays hands on him, and he is powerfully changed. He's changed so much that he begins immediately to talk about Jesus Christ and to preach his name. It is a transformation that is surprising. What we read is the people in Damascus were confused. The Christians in Damascus were confused by the change in him. Even though they were Christians themselves, they could not believe the transition. God can do amazing things and can change us. You know, if we're in a place in our lives where we say, I've been through it all, I've done it all, my years are nearly done, there is no change possible. I'm not going to develop any new habits or characteristics. That time is done. Christ still sees potential. If we say, well, you know, that's great for some people who've led a more holy life, but for me and my brokenness, or for the burdens that I carry and the regrets that I have and the things that I can name and ways I've hurt people, we might say there's nothing right now that Christ can do with me. But this is this amazing thing about mercy and potential, that God has a tremendous mercy and sees tremendous potential in each of us. And we can be transformed. There's a story of transformation that I just really appreciate about Alfred Nobel. Now, the particular story may be apocryphal. It might be urban legend. But it comes up a lot. I checked Snopes.com. They were a little bit, that's like a fact-checking place. They're like, maybe, maybe not. And so I give this to you. Now, you know, Alfred Nobel was the inventor of dynamite, of all things. And he became quite a wealthy man. And in 1888, his brother, Ludwig, died. And when a French newspaper heard that he died, they thought it was Alfred Nobel who had died. So they published the obituary. So Alfred Nobel had the opportunity to read his own obituary. Not many people get to do that. And printed in the obituary, this was the headline, "The Merchant of Death is Dead." That's the headline. Within the story, it said that Nobel became rich by finding ways to kill more people faster than ever before. Can you imagine? Well, his heart was touched. And Nobel was not a man who was married or had any children. And he realized that the lasting impact that he was leaving in the world was a destructive explosive. And so, toward the end of his life, he changed what he was going to do with his wealth, and he gave 94% of all that he had to establish 5 prizes for peace. You know those. Physics, chemistry, medicine, literature, and peace, so that every year people would be recognized for contributing good to society in a global way. There was a change of heart in him that came in some way, and it made a difference in the world. For the Black Widow, and this is the kind of the movie version, you know, the Black Widow, she's going to have her own movie in 2020. You know, some of you may be waiting with bated breath. If you want to see her in a movie, she's been in like 8 movies in the Avengers Marvel Universe. But for the Black Widow, this is what happened to her, is that she came to the United States to do her spy thing and to ruin the government here. And she met an Avenger, Marvel hero, and she fell in love. Now, I'd tell you which one, but I'd have to list about 4 of them because it always changes. She met someone and she fell in love. She had this change of heart. And she started thinking about what she had been told about the Soviet Union and what kind of things she was supporting. And she decided to make the steps toward defecting. And the Soviet Union got word of it and they tried to kill her. And then she was recovering in the hospital and she finally was able to separate herself. And then she became part of the first SHIELD, which is this fictional It's all fictional, duh. This spy agency, and then later part of the Avengers. She's a member of that. And so she became a superhero. And her strength included in her, like the more updated version, I love this, she's kind of like, she's got some biotech in her that helps her not to age. I wanted to read more in depth about that. But here's the thing, is that she has a change of heart. And what happens is the heroes around her are suspicious. Because they're like, well, you know, we know you're from the Soviet Union. You're trying to be like a double spy. And no. She has this change of heart. So she has to rise above their suspicions and to help them. And the same is true with Paul. Paul marches into the synagogues and starts talking about the name of Jesus. And people are like, what? So Ananias is worried about coming to him. The people in Damascus are confused. He goes back to Jerusalem, and it says in chapter 9 of Acts, they're frightened of him. They know who he is, and here he is talking about Jesus. Fortunately, there's another follower of Jesus called Barnabas who takes Paul and says, listen to what he did in Damascus. This is amazing. So they agree to have him as part of them. They allow him to start speaking on behalf of Jesus, and then the word gets out, and there's threats against his life. This follows Paul's ministry. So they rush him down to Caesarea, the coastline, and they put him on a boat, and they send him to Tarsus for a while. Eventually, he does become the bringer of the good news for the entire Mediterranean. And as I said before, the church would not be what it is today without his missionary work. Paul's change of heart is profound, and he rises to get people to trust him. Now, can we be changed if we choose to rise to superhero status? I think that we can. Sometimes the changes can come quickly, like Paul being knocked down on the road, and after 3 days, his sight coming back to him and realizing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sometimes that change can come gradually. Perhaps it took a lot of thought for Alfred Nobel and for Natasha Romanoff, the Black Widow, to bring that change about. But either way, God is working in us with mercy and knowing our potential. Now, I bring to you a story of change in my life. I've been married a short time and been single many more years, and so I have my opinions. And George comes to marriage, both of us 56 when we got married. He brings his opinions too, and we were in no way had the illusion that we would change each other. But there are times that we have differences, and some of those around politics and some around theology. And early in our marriage, I used what comes pretty quickly to me as a tool of argument. I used sarcasm. Now, you know, sarcasm is kind of literally that saying one thing but meaning another, right? Kind of that's kind of the literal look of it. But sarcasm is meant to diminish another person. Now, I know that in our society, sarcasm is often used for humor, right? And we say, we're just being funny. But when it diminishes people, or it works to make the other person look like a fool, that's what it does. So when we use sarcasm, if we're using it, we may say, I'm just being funny. But the target of our sarcasm often feels the hurt of that. So we would be discussing something like politics, and I would, in the heat of the argument, say things like, well, that worked out really well, didn't it, for you? Or I would say, that's just great, and I didn't mean great at all. Okay. And in the middle of one of those arguments, George just said to me, we can't talk about this right now. We need to stop. You're using sarcasm. I'm like, what? I guess that's sarcastic. And I thought about it, and I realized two things. The first thing's pretty profound, that when we step out and take a chance to love another person, we become very vulnerable. Think about the people that you love the most deeply and the most intimately. Those are the people with whom you can be vulnerable, right? And to be vulnerable is to take a chance, to let down your guard, to trust. And so here I am with this person that I have pledged to love, and he has pledged to love me. We've come to this vulnerable place, and I am throwing arrows of sarcasm. That's just really painful and embarrassing. And the second thing I came to realize is if I cannot, in my own household, with a person I love, refrain from hurting, how could I possibly relate to this world in a loving way? If I can't even begin at home, how can I move out into this world? And I tell you, it changed me. Now, sarcasm is still kind of part of my vernacular, but not in my discussions with my husband, nor my mother, nor my brothers, nor my sister. And sometimes it is hard, but I'm not going to do it because I love them. I'm not going to do it. And that change of heart, I'm going to trust, is because God is in it. Now, I think that God is working in me in maybe some small steps. I am a very different person than I was when I was 20 and 25. Very different. And it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, what I do. It has to do with what's inside me. I'm very different. And I trust that that is God working on me and helping me, raising up gifts that I have to be used in powerful ways. I don't think that any of us are beyond change. I believe that God's mercy is present in all of our lives, and God knows our potential. For some of us, we may be able to talk about times that we have been changed in an instant. There are stories in this room of coming to faith in a moment and giving our lives to Jesus Christ, and we can name when. For others of us, the change has been gradually coming in our lives as our hearts have been opened in different ways, and we have stories of change along the way. In all of those, God has been changing us. So I have a challenge for you today. And the challenge begins with this. And maybe this is the question that needed to be asked all this summer. Where do you want to be a superhero? Where is that place? Do you want to be a superhero in your relationship with your spouse or partner? Is that where you want to be a superhero? Do you want to be a superhero for your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandchildren? Do you right now need to be a superhero for your parents? Do you need to be a superhero for a colleague, for a neighbor, for a friend here at this church? And I would challenge you to think about the place where you would like to rise up and use the powers given to you by God. And then to open, and this is a scary thing, is to open yourself to be changed, to ask to be changed, to be given courage, to be given knowledge of those powers, to be equipped in whatever way it is, so that God might use us. This is what Paul said to the church in Philippi. He wrote to them and he said to them, have the same mindset as Christ, a mindset of love for others. When he talked about the mindset of Christ, he talked about humility. And this is the coolest thing. The name Saul means like prayed for, like the result of prayer. The name Paul, you're going to love this. The name Paul means little or humble. When Paul took on the work of Christ, he humbled himself. He was changed. And this is what he brings to the church in Philippi when he says, "I just look at Christ and put that on, and your lives will be changed." I trust that all of us have superpowers in us. God trusts that and has put them in us. And all of us have a place where we can rise up with our capes on and our little, you know, whatever we've got, and we can make a difference in someone's life. I challenge you to open your heart to that. Let us pray. Lord, oh, you know our needs. You know the places where you've been just pushing us to be a hero. So give us what we need, the courage, the resources, the time, the trust, the vulnerability, whatever it is. Give it to us now in the place we yearn to be a hero of the faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.